Well, as I've already said to you, I want to be considering with you this morning the continuation of Colossians chapter 1. We've noted Paul, an apostle, by the will of God. The will of God. A lot of people do not believe there is such a thing. We believe that God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. If it's not God's will, it won't happen. That doesn't make God to be the author of sin, but it tells us that our sovereign God is ruler over the universe. We'll look more at that next week, Lord's willing, or Wednesday night, when we will continue in verse 15, the exaltation of Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, writing to the church, as we said, at Colossae. This epistle was written by Paul while he was in prison. We said Wednesday night, probably in his house, rented house in Rome that he had. How much liberty he had, I think it was providentially that he had quite a bit of liberty. He wrote a lot of letters. He received visitors who came to him. Here in this chapter, we've read about Epaphras, who was probably the pastor at Colossae. And Tychicus was there visiting with Paul, and Onesimus. Now, of course, Onesimus is a very interesting story. By divine providence, one of God's elect, he meets Paul in Rome, and Paul ministers, preaches, teaches him the word of God, and God is pleased to sovereignly regenerate him. And so then he must go back to Philemon, and the problem between him and Philemon must be resolved. And Paul wrote that book of Philemon. It's a great book to read. So here, first chapter, Paul's writing, and we noted Wednesday night, seven things that Paul was praying for. I won't go through all those, but I'll just mention them to you. He is praying for them in verse 9, to desire that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. God's people need to know the will of God. And you want to know about the will of God, how you learn about the will of God? That's by reading the Word of God. Now, it's more than just reading it and memorizing. It is also essential that the Holy Spirit of God teach us. So Paul says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. A lot of people will read the Bible, come up with some crazy ideas, and they can quote a verse of Scripture for it. Reminds me of the story is told about the preacher who had the habit of just getting up the pulpit and putting his finger down, and whatever text he found, that's what he would try to preach from. And he did that one day and went down and said Judas went out and hung himself. Well, he didn't think that would be a very good text. So he turned over a couple more pages and put his finger down. The finger went on to a text that said, go thou and do likewise. Well, it's a dangerous thing to get randomly taken out verses of Scripture out of context. All Bible is to be interpreted in the context that it's written in and comparing with other Scripture. And so in wisdom and understanding, he says also in verse 2, that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now that's not walking worthy in the sense of knowing or meriting salvation, but worthy of the name of the Lord. I'm oftentimes saying this from I'm reminded about this, that my dad, one of the things that he instilled with me was, he said, don't forget whose son you are. And you are to live in such a way that you don't bring reproach on your mom and dad. Well, that's what Paul here is talking about. In Ephesians of chapter 4, verse 1, he says, to walk worthy of your vocation or your calling. Well, everybody should be, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, should be walking and living in such a way as our Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And so walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful every good work. Now we who believe in sovereign grace, sometimes we get thinking that there's no works in salvation or in this Christian life. There's no works whereby we merit anything from God. Everything you get from the Lord is by His grace and by His mercy because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Just go with me back to Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute, if you would, please, and let's just see if we can see that here in this scripture. Ephesians chapter 1. There are many other verses of scripture that I could look at, but I just want to read verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, and that's in the past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, or in heavenly places, in heavenlies, in Christ. God has reserved, and Peter will tell you, an inheritance for God's people, reserved in heaven for you, who are reserved, kept by the power of God. So all of our spiritual blessings come to us because of the finished work of Christ. I like what I heard a man say one time. He said, we're not blessed for our good works, but rather we are blessed in doing our good works. There are good works. Our Lord gave us an example. He said in the Gospel of Luke, told about the servants. He said, when you've done all these things, then count yourself as unworthy servants. What could we possibly do to merit anything from God? We are just sinners. But everything that God bestows upon us is by His mercy and by His grace. Being fruitful in every good work. Number 4, increasing in the knowledge of God. That means that we should study, grow, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's a special verse of Scripture for wives. Well, not just wives, but for all of us. But wives have to be patient with us husbands. Well, the world you live in is an agitating, irritating world. And you have to have patience to live in this world that you will be Christ-like. And so you need patience, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. God's people are to be a joyful people. We sang that song, I found this joy. It is not a natural joy. It's not a joy based upon temporal things. It's not based upon how much we are or what we've got, but it is the joy of the Lord. Even in the midst of adverse circumstances, we can rejoice in the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet. Not merited, but who has made us to be meet. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. That's God's sovereign grace. Nothing that we do, but all of God. Now, Paul begins to tell us some things that God has done for us in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The power of darkness. I want to first of all, talk to us about the kingdom of darkness. Paul will make reference to this in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to give us a lot of verses of Scripture today. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, the devil, just as the Lord uses means, the devil also uses means. And so you will have problems. We have problems with individuals. But understand what is motivating them is not just their personality, but those who are adversaries to the truth of God and to the Lord, they are being stirred up by Satan. And so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Those who are contrary to the truth of God. There are powers in this world that are evil powers. And those principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or in the air, against spiritual wickedness. Now, the reason why we have spiritual weakness is because of what Paul says, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, first of all, you'll note he's talking about the darkness of this world. This whole world is in a darkness, spiritual darkness. I don't care how much intelligence we obtain, how much knowledge we obtain, we are living in a world filled and dominated by spiritual darkness. I was just this week, I think it was December the 25th, if I'm not mistaken, the scientists put up a telescope. Now, this is a fascinating telescope. It's called the James Webb Telescope, and it's long-awaited successor to the Hubble Space Telescope. That was wearing out. This telescope has been 30 years in construction. 30 years in construction, and it cost $9.7 billion to be made. Now, what was the purpose of all of this? Well, the whole purpose of all this is to try to find out the source of life and the beginning of the universe. Now, when you read about this thing, it is a fabulous plan. I'm not saying that they won't be able to somewhat get this telescope out there. You read about it. They've done a lot of tests on it and trial runs and so forth. In fact, the matter, if I'm not mistaken, it's already made several adjustments out in space. This thing is going to go out in the space, and it is going to go around a quarter of a billion years, light years. They are projecting that it's going to be able to see the origin of the universe. Near the what they call the Big Bang, when this 2 meters or whatever it was, meteorites, whatever happened, when the explosion took place and what came out of it was the universe. Now, it is hilarious. It is ridiculous. And it's terribly sad that mine and your money is being spent by the government of our nation, where we've got poverty all around us. We've got people living in hardship. We've got little children starving. And our government is spending $9 billion to try and discover the origin of the universe. And it's very simple. You can go to a bookstore. You can go to the dollar store. And for $1, you can read a Bible. And the Bible will tell you the origin of the universe. Now, I know they don't believe that. And they don't believe it in spite of all the 7 scientific evidence that confirms it. Everything around about you confirms that there is a master hand, sovereign hand, master plan, so to speak, that has constructed this universe. Now, the evolutionary idea is somewhat like believing that a dictionary could come into existence by an explosion taking place in the printing shop. Now, that's absolutely ridiculous. Or if a mechanic somewhere would knock some things off of his shelf and they would fall down the floor, and what would come out of that would be a watch. Now, you pick up a watch, you'll know that somebody, somewhere, some master design with some skill had to develop this thing. And fact of the matter, it's amazing what a watch thing that we wear. I've got a watch on that tells me, keeps up with what day of the month it is and what the time is. Well, that's a fascinating tool. It didn't happen by accident. A mastermind somewhere or another with skill brought that thing into existence. My friends, that's the foolishness of this evolutionary concept that we're working on. I was riding on a plane going to Florida with my wife, Ruth, and I've told her I'm trying to get rid of that phrase, with my wife. I'm just in case you don't know who my wife is, that's Ruth. And so when I say my wife, that's Ruth. And so she's the one I've had all my life. I'm blessed to have her for 62 years and hoping we'll make 63. But anyway, back to my point. We were going to Florida and flying out of Atlanta. I got this biology teacher. He teaches at the University of Alabama. And he was sitting over here next to the window. I was sitting in the middle. And so, you know, I get going with conversation with the man. Where are you from? What are you doing? Da, 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 da. And I've told you before, I always start a conversation with anybody, most all the time, 99% of the time. I'm starting a conversation with anybody to try and be a witness to them and tell them about Jesus Christ. Well, sure enough, he's a biology professor. Well, you're just the man that I've been wanting to talk to. I've got a question. I've got an issue that I would like to find somebody with some intelligence to tell me about how this reckon. I said, I'm trying to understand how you reckon, reconcile. And he'd already told me he was a biology professor. I said, I'm trying to find out how you reconcile the evolutionary theory with the second law of thermodynamics. He knew exactly where I was going. I'd done caught him in a trap. Because the second law of thermodynamics is that the longer something goes on, the more it wears out. You and I are perfect examples of that. The older you get, the more you wear out. Everything around about you, that good new model, brand new car that you buy, drive by the junkyard, and you'll see some cars sitting there that nobody wants them at all. And the only thing they're good for is to strip down and melt down and try to make something worthwhile out of them. Why? But one time, they were the beauty of the showcase. Why? Because of the second law of thermodynamics, which is that the longer something goes, the more it disintegrates. Now, how in the world do you reconcile that with the so-called evolutionary theory that this marvelous universe that we've got that works precisely, that everything around this universe has come into existence because of evolutionary process? Now, I believe in evolution within certain species. I believe that God gives knowledge and skills, but it all comes from the Lord. And as Solomon, the wise man, said, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, yes, but we don't believe in the Darwin evolutionary theory, that this world that we live in and you and I are the products of just a haphazard evolutionary process. Well, why are people believing it? Well, you could say very simply, they are deceived. That's the world that we live in, a world that is deceived in spiritual darkness. Now, how did this come about? Well, there's a lot of means whereby the devil uses, but it goes back to the Garden of Eden. What happened there in the Garden of Eden? God put Adam and Eve there. Turn in your Bible, if you would, please, the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want to read some to us from this. I know you here, we all know what this chapter teaches and what it says, but I just want to kind of emphasize some things here. The second chapter of Genesis. I'm not going to read all of Genesis. I could read all that to us. But the second chapter, I want to begin reading at verse 24. Well, let me back up and read verse 21. Well, I got to read back up to verse 20. Well, you know, hard place to jump in here. Let me back up a little bit more. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that a man should be alone. Aren't you thankful, men, that God said that? And God told us that it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, Adam is not some moron, some caveman, just bumping into stuff and not knowing what he's doing. He is an intelligent human being. That's how God created him. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now, I don't know all of them how many different species of animals there are. But however many there are, there's a great number of different species. But Adam gave a name to all of them. Cows, horses, sheep. He gave them, told them, that's the reason you call a sheep, the reason you call a horse, is because that's the name that Adam gave to them. And the Lord, verse 21, and the Lord God caused. That's the source of all things. God causes it. He's not the cause of sin. The devil's the cause of sin. And we'll say some things maybe about that in a minute, but let me just go on. the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And the Lord said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh. I'm sorry, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. They had creation innocence. They were innocent. They were not sinners. God didn't create them sinners. Sin did not start with God. God had told Adam and Eve that you could eat of everything in the garden. Everything here, you can have it, except the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't have that. And the serpent was more subtle than any beast. Old dragon, and our Lord will tell you that he was a murderer from the beginning and a liar. He is a deceiver. He is the arch deceiver. And this whole world is under his influence, under his power. He is the dominating evil spirit of the world. Now, I said under his power, as God gives him permission and God allows him. Because the sovereign ruler of the universe is God Almighty. It's not the devil. Now, I'm not denying the power of the devil, but I remember and take you to the story of Job, that God and the devil had a conversation about this man Job. And Job made a false statement, made a false accusation against Job, and said he just serves you because you have so greatly blessed him. Well, I'm sure there were thousands of people at that time throughout the world who were serving God, and they were living in poverty. But Satan picks on Job. Job, he just serves you because of all the blessings that you give to him. Take away the blessings and he'll curse you. And God said, I'll prove you wrong. And you know the story. And Job told his wife when she said to him, you ought to go ahead and curse God and die. And Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He never sinned in all the things that the devil put him. But the point is, the devil told God. God said, go ahead and do it. I can't. Why? He was a powerful being. I believe he was a spiritual being created somewhere back in eternity. The devil is a created being. I believe that he was such a wise, brilliant angel that he deceived a third of the angels, and they were followed by the devil in rebellion against God. Now, that's my understanding of things happened before eternity began. But the point is, Satan was a brilliant, powerful being. Why can't you touch him? Because you got a hedge about him. Child of God, God puts a hedge around us. The Lord, John says, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Every child of God has the Holy Spirit of God within them, and he is greater. Paul will say in Philippians chapter 1, being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun the good work in you will continue it. It's not me holding on. It's God holding on to me. He will continue it unto the day of the Lord. Now, here's Garden of Eden, where this kingdom of darkness invaded the universe. And the Satan came to Eve and said to her, has God said? And that's how the devil always comes to individuals. Denying the word of God. Has God said? The Lord and the devil made out a lie that God has said. God doesn't want you to touch it because he knows if it happens, you'll become gods. And the Bible says, when Eve saw. Now, I just believe that the devil reached up and said, I'm going to prove something to you. I'm going to take one of these fruits here, whatever it was, apple, whatever it was. I'm going to take one of them and take a bite out of it. The devil had nothing to lose. But Adam and Eve had everything to lose. And when she saw that it was good to make one wise, you see, she perverted the word of God. God didn't say you can't touch it. But that's what she said. God said you can't touch it. And she got caught up in a snare by the devil. And the devil touched it, and God didn't kill him. And so she tried it, and she began to die. The day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. And so Adam comes along, and Eve says, take a good bite of this apple. Oh, it's good for you. It gives you superior intelligence. No, it doesn't give you superior intelligence. It blinds you in darkness, spiritual darkness. And I don't know when Adam became depraved, when he ate of the fruit or when he purposed to do it. You see, there, a person does something because they purpose to do it. A thief is not a thief because he stole something. He's a thief because that's his heart. I just think that Adam purposed to do what he did. The Bible says that he was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. And he did it anyway, whether he's going to challenge God. I don't know why, but that's what the Bible says. And the Lord said, the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. Now, God didn't say, if you eat. He said, the day thou eatest of. Now, God didn't make Adam to sin. God didn't make Adam to do it. But I'll tell you one thing. God had a remedy for the sin that Adam did before Adam ever sinned. Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And God had chosen his people unto salvation before Adam ever transgressed. Now, if you put everything up to the free will of Adam, then you're going to have to scratch out a lot of the Bible. I'm not trying at all, please, to say that God made Adam to sin. I'm saying that God made a provision and secured the salvation of God's people, even though Adam did sin. The remedy was already purchased before the disease ever came in. We get concerned about this pandemic, you know. We need to get a fast virus. Well, I think that they got a vaccine. Well, it's maybe somewhat beneficial. I hope it is. I got the shots. I don't know whether it's going to be the cause of my death or where it's going to be a remedy. I don't know. That's God's business. I'm not trusting the vaccine. I'm trusting God. Now, Satan deceived Adam and Eve, and the darkness came across the face of the earth. And the Bible says that all creation, Romans the 8th chapter, all creation is under the curse of sin. Before Adam and Eve sinned and before the flood, there was a perfect universe. There was no evil going on. There was no death going on. There were no floods. There were no tornadoes. There were no hurricanes. There were no diseases. And all in the world that Adam had to do to get his food, was to go out and pick it off a tree. But because of Adam's sin, disease, death, tragedy, heartache, all of that came with Adam's sin. The 5th chapter of Romans, God says, for all have sinned in Adam. The reason why the baby dies, the reason why the old man dies, the reason why there's death, the reason why there's murder, the reason why there's sin in this world is because it's in the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness. Let me read some more scripture to you. Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 53. Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 53. Well, that's not the right verse. I'll skip that right now. I'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've got a lot of verses here. It won't bother me to skip a verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading to you from the Word of God. Paul says, it is written, I have not seen. No, let me back up just a couple more verses here. In verse 6, I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Hey, there's two kinds of wisdom. Yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Now, all the wisdom of this world is foolishness. It's ignorance. Why? Well, we'll get to this in a minute. Because the world is lying in blindness, darkness. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's not a mystery in the total sense of the word, because it's written down in a book that God has preserved for us, given to us by Holy Spirit moved men who wrote to us about the marvelous wisdom of God. That's the reason why you don't have to put a satellite or a telescope out in space and cost $9 billion to find out the origin of the universe. It is written down in the Word of God. It's the wisdom of God. But ignorant men won't believe the wisdom of God. They can't understand it. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. When we talk about election and predestination, the world denounces it. Oh, no, that's not fair. God can't do that. Everybody's got to have a chance. Everybody had a chance, so to speak, in the garden. And it failed. Adam sinned and plunged the whole universe, all people, into sin. You know, the world became so wicked in the sixth chapter of Genesis. The world became so wicked that God saw the imagination of everybody's heart. Every thought was to do wicked. I'll tell you, we're no better today than what it was in the days of Noah. The Bible says, the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end of time. That's the kind of days we're living in. God gave wisdom to make television. But what does people do with television? The wicked universe, the wicked men have perverted the television and the internet, and so it's a disgrace and a thing of wickedness. Oh, I know there's some good things about it. God gave it for the wisdom for that reason. But think how man destroys and perverts everything. Sexual relation between a husband and a wife, that's good. It's glorious. It's marvelous. But what has wicked men done with it? Corrupted it. Polluted it. Made it a thing of disgrace. That's the world for you. The world that we live in. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. Believe that. Now the world doesn't understand that. And they don't believe in God ordaining anything. I'll tell you, everything that happens moves by the will of God. He ordained to allow it. The death of Jesus Christ. You cannot have the death of Jesus Christ without believing it was ordained by God. Everything about it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. That's foolishness. The very first prophecy given about the birth of Christ is found in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, in verse 15. The child will cause the seed of woman to crush the head of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent shall bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy about the death of Christ. All the way through the book of all the way through the Old Testament, prophecy after prophecy, type after type, all of them was pointing to one thing, the coming of Jesus Christ, and even the town where he was born in. Oh, that happened by accident. No, it was divinely ordained for Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem. And God called Caesar Augustus to make a decree that all throughout the whole Roman Empire, you had to go back to your hometown and register. Now, what you had to do when you went back to register, you had to sign a document that you were a subject citizen. You were submitting to the rule of Rome. Everybody had to do it. That's the reason why Joseph went back. had to go back to the hometown, Bethlehem. They were living up in Nazareth. Pregnant wife. Well, I don't know how many days exactly she'd been pregnant. We normally talk about 9 months, but the exact number of days is immaterial, because I read in Galatians, the 4th chapter, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. The very hour appointed by God. Paul says, which he, God hath ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now here's a point I want to point out to you. You may not agree with me here. Which none of the princes of this world knew. He's talking about the wicked power, wicked people. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now what's that tell you? If they knew that they were accomplishing the will of God, they would not have done it. Satan is not the all-wise one. God is the all-wise one. I'm sure that Satan thought he had really accomplished something when he had Jesus Christ stirred up wicked men to put Jesus Christ on the cross. But it was according to God's divine plan to bring about the salvation of his elect people. The powers that be ordained of God, Peter said, him being delivered by the determined counsel of God, ye have taken and with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. Hell was excited and heaven was rejoicing because God's predetermined plan was being accomplished, the salvation of God's elect people. Yes, God allows the devil to do things to accomplish his will and his purpose. Jonah got on board a ship and he was going the opposite direction, but God sent a terrible wind and they cast lots. Who's the guilty party here? The lot fell on Jonah. I'm the guilty man. Throw me overboard. And God prepared a great fish. My friends, God controls this universe. Hurricanes and even the whales go according to the will of God. Verse 9. As it is written, this is what the Bible says. As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have they entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared. Oh, the things that God hath prepared. You and I go out here and turn to speak it on nowadays, but we had to dig a well one time or another, put down a bucket, pull that bucket up, cold, fresh water. How'd I get there? Old man put it there. No. Today you can open a valve up. But I'll tell you what, if God Almighty is not pleased to send the rain, and if he's not pleased to preserve the water in the reservoir in the earth, you won't be able to find any water. I saw something opening up my computer this morning, and here was a nice looking lake, and I forgot the name of the lake, but it said, where is this lake? I didn't know where it was at. And you know where it was? In the middle of the Sahara Desert. How did it get there? I don't know. There's a deep reservoir of water under the Sahara Desert. They know that. How'd they get there? God put it there. I have not seen nor ear heard the things which God has prepared for them that love him. There are more spiritual blessings than there are physical blessings. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The world is in spiritual blindness, and they don't believe the things that you read about in the Bible. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't believe that God sent him to die for the sins of his people. They don't believe there's a heaven and a hell. They don't believe the book. You and I are blessed by the Holy Spirit of God to believe the book. Why? Because God wrote it in our hearts, gave to us faith. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to us and said, this is true. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, the Spirit that searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. No man. You're not born with a spiritual knowledge of God, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Who's the we? It's God's elect people. Now we were one time in spiritual blindness and spiritual deadness, but God regenerated us and gave to us his Spirit, whereby that we would be brought to know the truth of God's word. Now here's what I want you to note here, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that you might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak, not in the word, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's how you interpret the word of God. Now verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The whole world is under a spiritual deadness and spiritual blindness. And you and I were born into that world. Our parents were born into that world. And the wisest men that ever walked across the face of the earth, they're in that world, except for Solomon and Jesus Christ. Solomon was born into that world, but not Jesus Christ. Now, in the second chapter of Ephesians, here's the world, here's what we were. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1. And you, Paul writing to saints at Ephesus, every one of us, all of God's elect people, at one time, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the spiritual blindness that this world is in. Wherein in time past you walked. How? Oh, we're just good boys and girls. The only reason why you were good is because somebody going to tan your hide if you wasn't. And that's the reason why we have such wickedness today, is because nobody's tanned anybody's hide. You know, you think about the terrible wickedness that goes on in our world today. Drive-by shooting. Absolutely no reason for it, a purpose to it, except to prove to somebody else how wicked I can be. Who were in your time past, you walked according to the course of this world. We all went that way. Our talk, our conduct, our thinking, our behavior, that was their way of going. And nobody could change it. Mom and Daddy, they were foolish. They didn't know what they were talking about. Grandpa and Grandma, they're crazy. We've got our own ideas. The book of Judges said every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Spiritually blinded people do wicked things. I keep reminding my wife that ungodly people do ungodly things. Don't be shocked and surprised what you read in the news or hear in the news. Because ungodly people are dominating the world that we live in. The fashion of this world, the philosophy of this world, the education of this world, the language of this world, everything of this world is dominated by the powers of darkness, spiritual blindness. Who walked according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's what I've been talking to you about. The devil is not some kind of beast running around with horns and a pitchfork. the prince of power of Satan. He dominates this world by educated people. Now, I know that there's a lot of wicked people who don't have an education. I know that. But the style and the fashions of this world is domination by educated people. And that's the God that our society worships, is education, wisdom of the world. I could go talking to you some about this vaccine, this virus that we got, and the wisdom of this world. You see where it's got us. We're not even better off than what it was when it first came around. Oh, that vaccine keeps people from dying. Well, I read every day about people who are doubly vaccinated and they die. They've had both shots. I'm not knocking the vaccine. That's not my purpose. My purpose in pointing out to you the wisdom of this world has not solved any problems. Every time man solves one problem, he creates two or three more problems. That's the wisdom of this world. According to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's a crowd of ungodly people. But note what Paul says in the next verse. Among whom also we all. I've got "we all" underlined in my Bible. We all. Herb Hatfield Jr. We all had our conversation. That means your conduct. In times past, how? What was our conduct? In the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We conducted ourselves as did the world. We lived and we were in the control and power of the Spirit, the power of the air. We were dead in trespasses and sins. But thanks be unto God, Paul will tell you, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness. How did he do it? The word there is transformed. It means to be changed. It's not a metamorphosis. It's not something that we just get better, but it is a regeneration by the power of the Holy Spirit, whereby that God moves upon dead hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he regenerates us and gives us a new heart and a new nature. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature because of the mighty power of the Holy Spirit of God. Wouldn't you like to have just been observing? It's marvelous to read about what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus, but I would just like to have been standing on the side and watch what happened, knowing what was going on. Now, there were other people with Paul who saw it, but they didn't hear the voice, but they just saw something miraculous, and they didn't know what had happened. But Saul of Tarsus was going to God's elect people, and he lived a wicked life. He had put Christians to death. But God on the road to Damascus regenerated him and made him to be a new creature in Christ. And he became the preacher of the gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit translating us. Didn't just transform us. Didn't just translate us. Transport us, the word I'm wanting to say. Didn't just transport us. We were talking before services about trucking business. Brother Roger and I used to be in trucking business. And you load something on a truck and you can transport it. Hopefully everything you put on that truck is what comes off of it. I used to work for IBM when I was in college. And we loaded a computer up on a flatbed. That's how big they were at that time. And we load that thing up on that flatbed and send it to New York City. We were hopeful that when it got to New York City, it was a computer that would work. That's transportation. God didn't just change you or move, relocate you. He transformed us. Gave you a new heart and a new mind and made you to be a new creature with new, different ambitions. Things that you once hated, now you love. And what you once loved, now you hate. And it's not just somebody else's sin, it's your own sin. And that's the reason why we are repentant toward God. He translated us from the kingdom of darkness. I got to read a couple more verses of Scripture to you. I got them quick. Hang on. I want to read to you from John chapter 12, verse 40. John chapter 12, I'm reading about Israel of old. The Bible says that God has blinded their eyes. Now, why am I reading this to you? Well, I want to tell you about something. Blindness, spiritual blindness, is God's judgment for sin. 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. Let me start reading here in verse 35. Yet a little while is the light with you. He's talking about himself as being the light of the world. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Depravity. Miracles does not regenerate. Benny Hinn and all the rest of the so-called fake healers, they don't regenerate people. It's just a fakery whereby they deceive people. Verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah, which is out of the book of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, that's the sixth chapter of Isaiah, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, underline these words, therefore they could not believe. Tragic words you read in John chapter 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The man that they had looked forward to, the Messiah, the one that all the prophets had been talking about, the one that the world was expecting. And he came to his own received him not. Why? All the miracles that Christ did, all the prophecy that he fulfilled, yet they believed not. Why? He, God, hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. The world philosophers, the world religious system, the world preachers, they're telling everybody that God wants to try and save everybody. That's the devil's lie. God is not trying to save anybody. Whatever God does, purpose to do, he accomplishes it. But God had sealed them, hardened their hearts, and blinded their eyes because of judgment. And that's the condition of the whole universe, my friend. Ever since Adam sinned, this whole world lieth in spiritual darkness, spiritual blindness, and the only reason anybody anywhere ever believes is because God Almighty regenerates them and opens their blinded eyes. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, they both are the Lord. It's not because of the persuasion of the preacher. It's not because somebody takes you down the Roman road. It's not because you made a good decision. It's because God Almighty opened your heart and opened your blinded eyes and caused you to see the truth. Verse 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. The word to believe does not mean that they believed unto salvation. It's not saving faith. They just acknowledged that he was a man sent from God like Nicodemus. And Christ told Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. How did God deliver us from the kingdom of darkness that we were born into, my friends? He did it by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank the Lord. That was where we were born. That's where we would have died had not God Almighty chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we might be heirs of eternal life. And God sent forth His Son, not to try and save us, but God sent forth His Son to redeem us from all of our iniquity. And by the power of God, because of Christ's death on our behalf, He does regenerate and He transports us, or translates us, into the kingdom of His dear Son. Out of the kingdom of darkness. Well, I'm stopping there. But I want to go on and talk to you about the benefits of this. And that's in verse 14. We'll talk more about this Wednesday night, Lord's willing. Salvation is of the Lord. God doesn't try to do things, He accomplishes it. It is the power of God that regenerates us. It is not the power of the gospel, although the gospel is God's new good news to quickened hearts. It is not the song that we sing. It's not the persuasion of the preacher. It is what God Almighty does by the immediate work of the Holy Spirit of God. Our Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. We thank You that You loved us before the foundation of the world, sent Your Son to die for us. We thank You that You sent the Holy Spirit of God one day. And though we were dead in trespasses and sins, though we had a religious knowledge, Lord, yet You sent Your Holy Spirit of God and showed to us our ignorance and gave to us the knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus, made us to be new creatures in Him. I pray, dear Father, that we rejoice in Your goodness, in Your mercy, and Your grace. In Christ's name I pray and ask it. Amen. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Josh, you give me the number. The solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood.